It's a flight risk. We on some crazy ish. Episode 4. Let's get into it. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, everybody? This is your After Buzz Lethal Weapon After Show. Say what?
Yes,
I am your man, Chaos J, K-A-A-O-S-J on Twitter, Chaos underscore Oceans 31 on IG, and we have got a lovely, lovely special guest with us here today. And before I tell you who we've got, my awesome panelist,
hey!
Co-host, Charlie's Angels in the building. Tell them who you are.
All right. It's your girl, Candace Renee Rice, a.k.a. Pimp Fried Rice, what, underscore what? Pimp Fried Rice on IG. Hey.
And I'm Pietra Elise, Pietra Elise TV on IG.
Now, who's sitting next to you, Pietra? I mean, let the world know.
Hey.
Hey, I'm Chandler Kinney, and I'm Chandler L. Kinney on Twitter and Instagram and all that, so. But I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you.
Absolutely.
We're talking episode 4, Flight Risk, hence the Turbulent song. I know you're like, what? This song was so random, Chaos. It wasn't. There was a method to my madness.
There you go.
All right. So.
Jump in it.
How you doing, Chandler?
I'm good. I'm so excited. This episode is definitely one of my favorites for this season, and it's the startup of a whole kind of arc type thing. It's really getting interesting this season. So I'm excited.
So basically, you're saying that things are going to take a turn.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. I don't want to give away too much. I'm like an expert spoiler, so I'm going to be really careful tonight.
Okay, so I'm definitely going to have to use my extra sharp interrogation tactics.
Oh, great.
To make sure that I get at least something for our fans out there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we had this episode where we get a lot more Rihanna screen time.
Yeah.
Loving it. Last episode, a lot more screen time. Loving it.
Oh, thank you. I'm loving it, too.
You're doing your thing. So, let's talk about this plane shakedown.
We open
up with the plane shakedown. We've got Adrian Pasdar, who is Cooper, shout out to Adrian, and basically, the flight attendant says, hey, you need to take your seat, we're about to start our descent, and he's saying, oh, it's not enough time for a glass of wine, and she's like, no, because if there was, then I wouldn't be telling you to take your seat.
Right.
Then he says, oh, okay, he makes an announcement, tells everybody, look, you're going to get to L.A., but you're going to have a delay, pulls out his piece, starts robbing folks. Let's talk about
this is a robbery.
It was extreme.
This is a
like,
stick up.
Yeah. That was literally a lot to handle to open up a show. I was just like, okay, we're here. It's
That's
happening.
That's like the weapon for you.
I know, right?
Yeah, everything starts with a boom, you know? It's kind of like, oh, shoot.
Like, okay,
you're being
robbed.
Okay.
We in the plane getting robbed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that fight scene?
Like, okay, so let's talk about that fight scene for one. Hero fail. Okay, now, you've heard it before. They say in like bank robbery situations, convenience store robbery situations, they often say don't try to be the hero because you may endanger yourself and others. So as he's literally shaking down everyone for their money, their jewels, he comes across this finely dressed man, Eli, who we come to find out later, and he's got this briefcase and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna need that. And Eli's like, yeah.
I don't think so. Right.
Not even.
Right.
You're not getting this.
Right.
So at some point, he gets the briefcase anyways, because he has a gun.
Right.
And then Eli, as he's getting ready to leave, because Nora, the flight attendant, points out, like, the police are going to be there when we land. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm prepared.
Right.
Check your boy.
He's ready.
And you know, there's so many times where I see where there's like, you know, where there's robberies on planes and different TV shows. And granted, they didn't do it like they did this one, but still, I've seen it before. And I'm like, why wouldn't you have a parachute?
Right.
Like for me, if I could take a parachute on a regular plane, I would take a parachute on a regular plane because you never know.
Never know.
Put that in your carry on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just right.
Be like, prepared.
Right. Like, sir, you only need one carry on. Like, nah, I need two.
Right.
So Eli, as he's getting ready to try and exit the plane, tackles him. They get into this fight. Now, this for me is when I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, seriously? Yeah, I get it, because granted, once we find out later what's in that briefcase.
Exactly.
I might have. Either way, we see them tussle. We hear a gun. We hear a gunshot. And then they both fall out the plane. Fail. I'm thinking at this point, chalk it up as a loss. Once that door's open, are you really going to try and tackle this dude? You don't have a parachute, bro.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah. he has a gun that you don't know is loaded or not loaded.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I would have literally let that briefcase go.
I would have been like, okay, man, all right, you win. I'll be over here.
But then again, we don't know what ties he had to the briefcase, because they never really talked about that. So...
Or who the briefcase belonged to.
Yeah. Or anything.
He may have just been the courier.
He was clearly the man of the mission. So he had a responsibility that he was trying to take care of.
After finding out what's in the briefcase, would you still complete the mission?
I'm not about to jeopardize my life.
I know.
Like, no.
Yeah.
I would have just had to figure something out after. Now, I mean, my life.
Yeah.
Okay, see, now this is where I'm going to contradict everything I just said.
So you would have done it.
As I start to process this, okay, if you haven't watched this episode, you're slipping. I need you to go and watch this episode. But based on knowing what's in this briefcase, and again, we don't know if he's just the messenger, and the courier, and he's responsible for protecting and getting this from point A to point B, it's one of those things where I'm thinking there's a possibility that if that gets out of his hands, he's a dead man anyway.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, you might end up dead either way.
I mean,
but you can always run.
But as soon as the plane hits the ground, you're out.
The plane is wide open. Like, the door is open and, like,
He thought he had that kung fu and he was going to stop it. So,
like, I'm sorry, y'all. Like,
kung fu versus a gun.
Yeah, I'm scared of heights. So,
speaking of gun, we get to see Riggs, who is cleaning house, and he is pretty much just taking a bunch of stuff to the pawn shop and trying to get rid of it. As they're going, you know, as the shop attendant is going through all his stuff, he's like, oh, this is good. Oh, you know, this is a classic. I can't give you much for it, but, and he's like, you sure you want to get rid of this? And he's like, yeah, it's my dad's. And then you see him have this flashback to where him and his dad are out in the field and he's taking him out to hunt for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we see that there's some sentimental value to this gun. Because I want to say, wasn't a gun passed down from passed down from his granddad to his dad, and then his dad's giving it to him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're out of the house, and the mother is at home sick, and he's not explaining exactly what's going on with her, but we know that she's homesick, and he's kind of trying to get him out the house and have a little father-son bonding time. He's going to get to shoot his first deer, which obviously he misses. We've seen this time and time again, like... The first time you go hunting, granted I've never been hunting, but I would probably do the same thing at his age. I wouldn't want to kill Bambi. We all love
Bambi.
Everybody loves Bambi.
Not going to be that person.
Right. He misses, and his dad takes Bambi down and says, you know, it's all right. I missed on purpose my first time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then we jump back to present day Rihanna giving her dad the shade.
Rihanna.
Yeah, they're at the breakfast table, which I want to point out. I thought this was so funny while we were filming this. There's a whole breakfast, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he goes all out. There's orange juice and smoothies. Like, he's really prepared
He was going all in.
Yeah. Like, I don't ever have two drinks for breakfast. So I was like, okay.
I mean, maybe you could be extra thirsty.
I was gone, though. I don't even know if, like, anybody realized this on Twitter. Like, I'm tweeting with the East Coast feed, and she didn't even take a bite. She was out the door.
You did not.
Rude.
I noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah, she There's kind of a bit of a setup for this season where she's growing up, which is mm-hmm. really cool, and we'll talk more about that as we go on later into the episode. But with that, I think there's a little bit of like she wants to become a little bit more independent. You know, she's a young woman now, or so what she thinks of herself, and she kind of wants to be like. She, you know, there's a point where she closes off a bit and like, hey, I want to be with my friends. You know, you don't need to be a part of every little thing of my life. And Murtaugh's not ready for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, you know,
that's any average.
This is baby girl.
Yeah, like, you know.
All right. So we get Rihanna leaving, curving dad all the way.
All the way.
Leaving the
no
breakfast.
No one you know. Peace.
All like. The way. I'm not gonna lie, because I have a little girl, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like,
it's gonna happen.
It's
gonna happen.
Get ready.
You will get curved.
I might have to barricade her in the house. Like, you get curved. You're gonna take a bite of them eggs.
You're gonna eat that French toast. Come on.
You're gonna have at least a couple bites, and you need to take that smoothie with you, because you need to have some breakfast before you go to school. I'm just saying. Okay, so before I age myself, now, then we fast forward to, and guys, stop me if I'm going way too fast and I'm missing something. Santos is questioning Captain's, I guess, ability to lead and his authority over, the department. And right as he's trying to assert to her, like, no, like, I got this, you know, I run this. They listen to me. They do what I tell them to do. I am the captain. In comes Riggs and Murtaugh.
Right.
Yo, right. What's up? Super casual, super informal, mm-hmm. and just completely undermining his authority right in front of Santos, who is already suspicious of Captain.
Yeah, she's on edge.
Yeah, she's been trying to get him, take him down from the beginning.
That's true.
So every little thing, like, he's walking on eggshells to the point where I don't even feel like he's being himself, because he's scared of what she's going to say or how she's going to portray him not to be the leader that he needs to be right now as a captain.
Yeah. Right. Well, he got sent to captain camp, so that's
not... Yeah.
That's not the best sign.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit. Then after that, we see Riggs and Murtaugh go to the scene of the crime, at the hangar, and they're talking to the flight attendant, Nora. And as they're talking to her, and they're asking her, like, have you seen this guy before? Have you, has he been on any other flights? Do you know him from anywhere else? Right. And she's like, no, for me, I'm instantly like,
Same.
Now, see, now, I didn't think right off jump that was going to be her dad. I kind of thought maybe that was like her sugar daddy or something, and they had a little scheme running.
Yes, it's set in LA, so you know.
May December romances, you know, that's a thing.
Right, yeah.
What did you guys think about that?
At first, when she sat down, I didn't believe her. When she was just like, I didn't believe her because of the phone conversation. So, I mean... But then when I thought about it again, I'm just like, well, in the beginning, she did seem like she knew him on
the
plane.
There was just that sense of familiarity.
And on the plane, he goes, Nora. He addresses her by her name. So you're kind of like,
Mm-hmm. I did think that, but
is she wearing a name tag? I don't see no name tag.
That's right. That's a good observation. But see, at the same time, I am that person who, once I see, if I see your name tag, like whether I'm at a restaurant or somewhere like that,
you call them by name.
I'll start addressing you by your name, which I'm pretty sure makes people feel really weird, because when I used to work in retail and stuff like that, I would always feel weird. They'd be like, okay, well, you can help me out, Kelly. And I'm like, wait, what? You don't know me like that. But then I look and I'm like, oh, that's right, I have a name tag. So I kind of was like, well, he could have just remembered her name.
Yeah. Yeah, but when she says never, like, you can see a little something
you
in her
eyes.
You
see that little twitch, like, no.
Something.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got our live chat. You want to run that, Pietra?
Sure. We have the live chat. We have Steven in the live chat saying it's epic. He was in Top Gun. He's familiar with aircraft. Captain Camp. We also have Tanya saying, hey, gang.
Hey, Tanya.
Hey, Tanya. What's up?
Thanks for tuning in.
I know, right? Thank you all.
Captain Camp.
I know, right?
So we find out, to jump back, we find out that after they Well, what happens is they go to find where they think Cooper is staying, mm-hmm. which is at a hotel. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's not there. And he pretty much knew that they were onto him. Mm-hmm. The phone rings because in his haste to get out, he leaves his phone. And the shower running.
I think that was
probably to throw them off.
Probably.
And we hear Nora's, I can't believe you did this to me. And, I'm going to lose my job when the airline finds out. Dad, hello?
And my thing is, why would he choose, out of all the flights that he can take, why would he choose one that she's on? Like,
because it's the perfect inn.
He purposely, like, well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's the perfect cover. Because he basically lied to her saying, yeah, girl, let's spend time together.
Let's reconnect. Yeah. Right.
And so she was all for it.
Right.
Not suspecting a thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Although she should have, because she lets us know that, hey, he is a liar and a master manipulator.
He low down. Yeah. And that throughout her whole childhood.
But maybe she thought, when you get a certain age, you think people have matured enough to turn things around, and maybe she thought that's what he was doing.
Well, of course, because he's her dad, and he's an adult, so you would think. But either way, she agrees, because now she feels betrayed by her dad.
Yeah, right.
She agrees to help them find her dad. They decide, okay, cool. They go, they talk to one of his old friends from the past, who at first tries to tell him a lie, and they're like, look, dude, stop. Mm-hmm. We see right through the BS. We know you talked to him recently. Where is he going? And, he's dying, and he's going to go do this. And she's like, okay, I know what he's doing. He's basically getting ready to drop off. He's about to exchange all the stuff that he stole, and then he's going to get some cash. Then he's going to flee to Mexico.
Yep.
Boom. Now we're in Chinatown, where obviously the exchange is about to happen.
Yeah.
You see him walking down. He's got the bag. He's like, okay, cool.
Ready to do this.
Yeah.
He's everything's good. It's going according to plan. Mm-hmm. Until we see somebody get ready to shoot him in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we see other guys come out, and they want to shoot him in the face as well. Obviously, Riggs being Riggs catches wind. Notices you've got a guy that's not eating the soup. He jumps out. He's got the gun.
Professional detective
Brandon,
work.
I don't know. Am I weird? But I just feel like on a hot day, the last thing I want to eat is some hot soup.
Right. Exactly.
That's true. That's true.
You know
but
what?
In Chinatown.
Yeah, right.
That's their thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's also LA. You know, you can.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's hot.
And that, but
you can't get away with soup.
You can't.
That's the first giveaway.
But then the first thing, also, we see all the time people are drinking coffee. Am I killing you right now?
No.
Okay.
No.
I thought I was giving you showers
over
here. No. She just keeps doing this. Like, I'm like, oh man, I'm lighting her up right now.
No.
Okay, so that's the other thing is like, I see people drinking hot coffee in the middle of the day, like it's 90 degrees.
I do that.
Can't co-sign.
No, I do that.
I because it was literally 90 degrees today.
That's ridiculous.
It was.
Exactly.
That is ridiculous.
You know, you be sleepy. Y'all be sleepy.
Girl, you better drink some water and hit it.
Or get like a frappuccino or something.
Get a blended.
An iced coffee.
There you go. On ice.
A lot of sugar.
Oh, refreshing.
Yes.
I mean, there's sugar either way. I mean. Okay, so moving
on.
We've
Hashtag lethal weapon.
We've got this intense shootout that's taking place.
Yeah.
Again, Riggs and Murtaugh doing their thing. But these guys came prepared. They've got body armor.
Yeah.
So they take a couple licks, and then they get right back up, and they jet. They take Cooper in, and he refuses to talk.
Of course.
Until he gets to see his daughter. He's
a pretty witty guy.
Not only, because he definitely had a lot of
confidence.
And I just felt like the detectives finally met their match because they literally are always being sarcastic, always not taking their job serious. And here you are, have this guy asking him questions, and he's like giving you exactly what you give everyone else.
Yeah.
I just thought that was like epic.
Cooper was giving them a run for their money.
Yes. He was not having it, he wasn't answering anything.
So, not only is he refusing to talk, we find out that he didn't even have bullets in his gun.
Right.
Yeah. He never has bullets in his gun during any of his robberies. And that Eli, the guy who, he attacked and ended up losing his life, shot himself. So, again, hero fail.
Right.
Not only did you not retrieve your briefcase, you shot yourself and you fell out of a plane. He took a lot of L's.
Yeah.
He
took a lot of L's.
Too many. Way too many.
In the matter of an hour. I mean,
that's too many.
Right. So, again, we find this out. Coop gets to talk to his daughter. We find out that the briefcase is supposedly in a pond. As they're in the middle of talking to him and she's in there, you know, he starts seizing up and and he falls over, super overdramatic, like, right as he's getting ready to tell them that the mystery briefcase is in the pond.
Mm-hmm.
We see Rihanna get brought in by Bailey.
She doesn't get out of the house much, so this
clearly
is like,
and when she does, she decides to go protest.
She's protesting for the animals.
But you know what? Yeah, she was taken in. She, you know, in handcuffs. But yeah, she was protesting the inhumane treatment of animals. So I'd say that's a pretty good thing
at the
to
end
be
of the
arrested
day, I'm
for.
I'm not too mad at you.
Come on,
if you
think
about
it,
if you noble,
yeah. Someone was
is.
Telling me this today. If you think about it, all the times Rihanna got in trouble, it's like for good reasons.
Like
she
is.
Makes
innocent,
a fake ID
an innocent
to be responsible and get a job. Like, come on,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I mean, right. I
gotta
mean,
defend my girl.
Worse.
It could be a lot
worse.
Yeah,
it could be worse.
But I wonder if that's on a record.
Like, no,
you know,
given her debt, no, stop.
Probably not.
Her dad's
he
got
a record.
Keeps
that queen. Yeah.
And again, she never got formally charged with anything. It's just that the arresting officer on site, you know,
recognized
the name.
Yeah,
how many Murtaughs are running around in the city that's not directly
related?
Related to Roger Murtaugh.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Take it from here. Let's talk about the fact that she is in an interrogation room.
Right.
I loved
That's
it.
What I was waiting for.
That was
I
my
was
favorite.
Waiting for you to get to that.
That was my favorite scene. That was my
that
favorite.
That was my all-time favorite scene to film.
Yeah.
Like, it was the best.
How many takes did you guys have to do with that?
We did a couple. It wasn't... I don't know. It was just... It was really cool because it was a whole different headspace for us, I think, because although it was comedic and it was funny, we really were angry with each other and there was a lot of tension, so it was kind of cool because like between the takes we were staying in that headspace of like, you know, keeping that tension between us, but it was so much fun. And you know, obviously Damon's the best. I'm a bit biased, but
Rihanna,
it was a lot of fun. It was so much fun.
My question for you is, how much of that was ad lib?
This is kind of a sad answer. We stuck a lot to the script just because it was so good.
Yeah.
Like, it was so funny when I read it. But there was some ad-lib in there, especially when he was at the door, and I go, I'm not done yet.
Oh,
that was everything. Like, that just came out. Like,
right.
I was not...
I love
I was
that.
In that moment. And so that was not written. I was just going at it. And, but it was,
but they
it
kept good. It.
So yeah,
they
kept it. Really it was good. It was appropriate.
Yeah.
So it was a perfect combination of a little bit of ad lib and the script.
Yeah.
Because again, it seemed so natural. It wasn't forced. And that's exactly what I could imagine, you know, you saying and your character or any other teenage daughter saying to the dad. Like, you hover. Your jokes are corny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like.
Yeah, she'll say because Rihanna's a good kid.
She's a good girl, you know. And I think it was an important scene because you can see that she's like been holding in these things for a bit. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a nice moment for them, I guess at least after when they made up. But it was cool because it was a really honest moment compared to at the beginning of the episode where she's very closed off. She's like, I'm not even going to get into this, you know, on my way. And so it was a very honest moment. So.
And then we take a step back. This entire episode, the dynamic and the whole episode revolved around the relationship between a father and his daughter.
Yeah.
And a panda.
And a panda. Let's not forget about the panda that got shot up.
Right.
He was dead set on getting her that panda.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And in that moment, I just knew like something was wrong with him. I'm like, oh my God, he's shot. And here he goes, pulling out the panda. Like, really?
To make a
really?
Stop.
Like.
Yeah.
So.
It was a really nice father bond. And it's so much fun to play. It's like the best thing ever.
Okay. So here's a question I have. What's your filming schedule like? Do you have like a lot of long days on set, or do you
You know, Lethal Weapon is pretty quick. We're fast-paced. Takes about almost 2 weeks to film an entire episode. And basically, like, through those 2 weeks, like, for me at least, I'm only on set, like, 2 to 3 days. Just because they really, they stack up the scenes. You have, a good day of work. But then you're out of there. Like, if you're not working, you're not really, like, hanging around on set. Great. Like, we move fast. Yeah, and we have the best directors. And it's just, it's so nice and like smooth, and it's good work. Yeah, everyone's really happy on the set because, you know, no one's just like hanging around waiting for the camera crew to turn around. It's just, it's very fast.
That's good.
It's amazing.
It's good.
Yeah, that's good, because you always hear the horror stories about just super long days on set.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I for one, I know for me as an actor, and I know that you dabble, and yeah, we all kind of dabble. I feel like sometimes it can take you out of your zone when you're there for a long time waiting and just
for sure
do your scene.
It's actually very surprising because of all the elements that go into an episode. It's like so much going on. They always have like at least 2 fight scenes and somebody dies, and that's incredible that they actually do it really quick.
Now, have you ever been on set like when there's like explosions or anything? Because I know your role isn't centered around that type of
not
action.
Yet.
There's nothing.
Not yet.
I know, right?
We've still
not
got.
Not yet. Oh. Yeah. Not yet. No, I haven't. This is so sad, and I hate that this is coming out. The truth is coming out. But no, I haven't like actually seen in person any of the explosions, any of that. I see videos from my castmates. They're like, "Hey, look what happened." I'm like, "Oh, great. That's cool." But I don't get to see any of it. But I should honestly just swing by set. That's on me. I should just like go see what's happening. But yeah, I don't get to see any of it. But we have the best stunt team. Like, they do the best stuff. It's so cool. And I think it reads well on camera too. I think everything looks very real and like, oh, that person really did just jump off the top of that building.
Yeah, right? It does. Yeah.
Are
it does.
You like ready for that though? Like, if
I would.
You would do it?
I would do it. I have a black belt in Taekwondo.
Yes!
I want to get into a fight with someone. And I'm excited for this. I'm excited for this. And I've been telling Matt Miller, the showrunner, I'm like, dude, got to get me into something. So maybe like later in this season 2. Yeah, I'm ready. Pretty much everyone on the show, like if they're not, if they haven't done stunts yet, they're like, please, please,
like,
let
me do stunts.
Give
me something. Give me something.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So real quick, let's just wrap this up.
Okay.
Coop is in the hospital and he finally, or they try to find the briefcase. Obviously, it's not in the pond. Once they realize it's not in the pond, they go back to talk to him, like, yo, you told us it was in the pond. He's gone.
Cooper dip.
Broke free from his handcuffs with one of Nora's earrings. See her standing. Now, I didn't quite understand where she was or why she was just kind of standing around playing with her ear with, you know, without
earrings. Or did she give it to him? Or did she give it to him? Did she get it?
Oh, no. Yeah, she gave him that earring.
But why?
Okay, so we'll get to that.
You know what? I was wondering, and I don't even think that this was like clear like in the episode, but I was wondering if like when she leaned in for that hug, if he stole it.
That's
what happened.
Given the mask,
I don't think that she
will explain why she's playing with her ear.
Right.
Like,
no,
oh, wait, where's
but
my
she
earring?
Was looking for it when she went outside.
Yeah,
she was like, oh,
it was right
like,
there.
It's gone.
Like the camera went like around. She was like.
How
and
that,
then
wait,
she's like, oh,
I,
hey.
How'd that camera angle go again?
Okay. And then she's like, oh, hey. Just like that.
That's a new move
yeah,
right there.
And because then it's kind of like at the end when she gives him a hug, then he slips the diamond in her pocket.
Yeah.
So he pulled one of those. She went in for the hug. He stole the earring. He was like, boom. And that's why the
diamond drop. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
So,
lethal weapon.
They go back to the hospital. He's gone. We see him climbing out of a dumpster with the briefcase. And then we see that she gets kidnapped as she gets approached by Eli's guy that says he's Eli's brother.
Yep.
And then he takes her in the van.
Yep.
So the next, she calls his phone. Of course, Murtaugh answers again. Or no, I'm sorry, Riggs answers this time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, Dad, you know, they got me, and I need you to bring that briefcase, meet us in Echo Park, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we see them call Coop, and then they're like, look, you need to do the right thing. They've got your dollar. bring the briefcase. Do not run.
Wrong number.
Like, yeah, never, wrong number.
I was like, cool.
I wasn't really gonna. Wrote in my notes. I was like, bad father.
I know he wasn't gonna like let that go. Like, I mean, if he was, he would have hung up the phone right then. He stayed and listened. He wanted to hear. Yeah. Like, he wasn't gonna like play.
And
that.
Then so it
jumped to the park scene.
Yep.
We see that he does show up. He's dressed as a custodian, and they're getting ready to do the exchange. He's talking to the guy. He's like, okay, let me see my daughter. He's like, oh, well, he's like, okay, well, you can play, that game. I'm going to walk off. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay. He shows the daughter. We've got Riggs on snipe because he is a marksman.
Best gunshot that I've seen on TV.
Crazy, yeah,
I'm happy,
right?
That they had him up there. That's what he needed to be.
It's the crazy. Best. Like, you read it in the script and you're like, okay, that's going to be cool. And then you see it and you're like,
I was like,
and then sometimes I'm imagine
don't
you
shoot
won't.
Gina. How you don't shoot Gina?
I know, right?
Hey, shoot Gina.
He's done with her.
They don't really care for her. Like, she's
I like Gina.
So yeah, we've got Coop tussling with the guy for the briefcase.
That was so funny.
We've got the other thugs running because they were tussling a long time in that same position.
Like,
can y'all move? But then we see Riggs again, excellent marksman, and he shoots right through her jacket.
Yeah.
That takes the guy
that
down.
Was nice.
And Murtaugh comes in, knocks off the rest.
Boom.
Happy day.
There we go. All of the days
that
work.
He's back in the hospital because let's not forget he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
He's back in the hospital. He tries, you know, to slip some diamonds in his daughter's pocket.
I would have took it.
I know. Why did she take it?
But we see, exactly, that's what I said. But we at least see that they kind of have some sort of reconciliation.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, that their whole dynamic that was kind of off. Their whole vibe was off. And we see that they've kind of pieced things back together.
Yeah, the episode really is about, like, father-daughter
really
bond.
It was
because
amazing.
Because
then we go back to the Murtaugh and Rihanna.
I was just about to say, because, again, earlier, after she had curved him, you know, he's like, you know, hey, hibachi.
Yeah.
So then he's saying, look, mom's not going to be home. We can still do some hibachi. And she's like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm about to go get something to eat.
And there's a moment where she wants to say something, but she doesn't know how and she doesn't know what. And
she loves her daddy.
She does.
She loves her daddy.
Such a moment.
And she took the panda. She wanted
panda.
Yeah,
I love that metaphor, though. Like, when she was like, keep the panda. That's like, you know, Dad, I appreciate you
leave
getting
the
this.
Panda.
Leave it.
And then,
you know?
I like the fact that she said, hey, you know what, guys? Let's just lay low.
Yeah.
And stay. And it's just so that he could, you know,
feels like he
right exactly
yeah.
and then you know, then he got to tell a few corny jokes and I was all in for it.
Yeah,
it was a great episode.
My favorite so far. That was a good one. It was phenomenal.
We see in the previews Leo Getz is coming back, so that's gonna be exciting after the World Series wraps.
Nice.
Real quick, because I know we've got to wrap this up, what else do you have in the pipeline right now? Like,
you're doing
your thing.
Yeah, yes. I could tell you, with the Riggs backstory and the flashbacks of young Riggs and his dad, you will see more of that in upcoming episodes. And you'll get a lot of Riggs backstory that basically explains how he became the person that he is today. You know, if you think back to when he met Miranda in the bar, he was alone on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, so he was broken before her.
Nice.
So you'll see more of that. And for Rihanna, you know, she gets into more trouble. She likes to keep it fresh, but I think the main thing is that she's growing up, and I think it's really cool, especially in this episode, you get to see that very headstrong, stubborn side of her that she gets from both of her parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you remember Trish and the, you know, she's a lawyer, she you know, you see that side of her, and, you know, in her work, and so I think that kind of you could see that in Rihanna. And so you'll definitely get to see more of that.
Now,
as well.
What else can we look forward to from you?
From me,
from
more
Chandler.
Lethal Weapon. Honestly, just I'm working hard on the show.
Anything outside of acting that you're working
of
on?
Acting.
Any side projects that we should know about?
Nothing I can drop.
So you know what that means, everybody. That means we pretty much need to stalk her on social media.
Yeah, you know.
Safely.
I already lit up
your
Instagram.
I just have a feeling one day we're going to get an update, and they're like, oh my goodness, did you know she was going to do this?
I do, like, drop hints every once in a while, so watch out for those.
Cool.
All right. So everybody, this has been your AfterBuzz Lethal Weapon After Show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for coming.
Where can everybody follow you?
Chandler L. Kinney on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, all that.
All right, ladies.
All right. Oh, _ pimp fried rice on IG, and then pimp fried _ rice on Twitter, because they wouldn't let me buy pimp fried rice.
And you know me, Pietra Elise. You can follow me on everything at Pietra Elise TV. I finally made a Twitter. I know I'm late, but I got one now, so follow me.
And this is your boy, Chaos J, K-A-O-S-J. Shout out to Alexis, who could not be with us, but we're thinking about you.
Love you, Alexis.
We'll see you when you come back and you get better. You can also follow me on Instagram, chaos_oceans31. Oceans, why? Because your boy's so wavy. Thanks for tuning in. See you guys on the next one.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.